This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour four of VSiN Prime Time. Tim Murray here at the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. My ginger brother, Will Hill, over there in Connecticut, has gone final at the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, 6-1, the final score. Paul Goldschmidt grounds out to third base to end the game. So the Cincinnati Reds, a short home dog at around plus 110 or so, gets the victory here tonight against the New York Yankees. Handful of other games coming close to a close. We do have two finals other than Cincinnati and the Yankees to tell you about. As the Mets fall short against the Atlanta Braves, they were a home dog. Betting market was in on Atlanta, closing them around -$1.45 or so. And they come home with the win 3-2. And then the Orioles, as a slight home favorite, beat the Texas Rangers. Trevor Rogers, brilliant in a start. 8 scoreless innings. Orioles beat the Rangers 6-0. You had mentioned that the first 5 over was a look for you in the Red Sox-Angels game.
Yeah.
And you didn't bet it, man. Because
it's worked the other way before, where, like, we're previewing these games. You just say, I mean, with sometimes 10, 15 Major League Baseball games, you want to give a thought on each. You're not going to bet all 10 or 15 usually. So it's worked the other way, where I was just, if I had to bet, I'd bet this, then it loses, then you don't think about it again. But I mentioned if I was going to bet anything, it'd be the first 5 over 5. We've got 5 runs here, and we're not even done with the first inning. Of course, I did not bet it. So it's frustrating. And by the way, a homer here in the Twins Mariners game. Yes, Cal Raleigh has done it again, I believe. So, man, with a night where the ball was traveling out, we mentioned that at the top of the show. Any of these, you know, superstar home run, if you're interested in, like, those home run parlays that people love, I don't get into that. Not my cup of tea, that market. But Judge, Acuna, Soto, now Cal Raleigh, some big names going deep here on a night where it's just warm throughout the country and the ball's really traveling.
Cal Raleigh's 32nd home run of the season. And he just, and it wasn't.
What has to happen for him to win MVP? What numbers does he need? Is it as simple as, like, can he win this without a Judge injury? Because that's the first thing I would think of, the first thing that's a natural answer. Can he win this on merit with Judge's healthy, Raleigh's healthy, and Cal Raleigh still wins it? Is there a path? What does his stat line need to look like?
I mean, he's got more homers now. He's up to 32.
Yeah.
I mean, the batting average is so much better for Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
By the way, it's now 3-3 in Anaheim. Red Sox and Angels in the first inning.
Of course.
I mean, I guess, you know, a big old slump for Aaron Judge. But, man, I mean, what is Aaron Judge looking at? So he hits a first inning homer. He's the only run scored for the Yankees today. He's batting .367. He's slugging .734.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, man. I mean, injury, yeah.
What if Raleigh hit 70 homers? What if he hit 70 homers?
Well, didn't he already, I think he's already broken the record for most homers for a catcher by the All-Star break, and it's June 23rd.
I believe it was Ryan Glassbeagle on Twitter, who works for, I think, Front Office Sports now. He tweeted out something, I think I retweeted or responded to. It was something I completely agree with. He said, Cal Raleigh, you know, 25, 30 years ago, he would be one of the biggest stars in sports. Everyone would know him. Everyone would know his face. That guy could walk into any grocery store, any sport. He could be walking down the street. Out of 100 people, how many would recognize him? 2, 3, 5. I don't think I would recognize him facially. I mean, it goes to show you how we consume sports and just how it's changed. Because basketball players, we'd recognize, you know, they're not wearing helmets. Football players, everyone knows, you know, Mahomes or Allen. You got this guy who's on pace to hit 65, 70 homers, whatever it is. And people just probably couldn't even pick out him a lineup, most people, if he walked into a bar or a restaurant, wherever.
He's now got 10 home runs in the month of June.
Jeez.
Cal Raleigh does it again tonight, folks. He has now hit a homer in 4 straight games, 5 of 6. The dude's a little hot right now, I would say, as he goes yard. And the Mariners are going to win tonight. They lead 11-2. They have had, how many home runs tonight have the Mariners hit? 4 homers tonight for the Mariners off the Twins. And Mariners are going to improve to 40-37. Another one of those teams. It feels like there's a bunch of teams, Will, just kind of hanging out in that 41-40 win range. You know, we talked about the NL wild card. The AL wild card could be pretty interesting, too, because you got the Rays, Blue Jays, Mariners, Guardians, Red Sox, Royals, all kind of lumped in that same type of range of around 40-ish wins.
And then you got a team like Texas who, what are they going to do? Are they going to be buyers? Are they going to be sellers? Can they make a run? Would you shop DeGrom? I mean, you look at that team, you think that's a team we mentioned with the Padres, where you think of them, you're like, oh man, that there's a lot of names I recognize in the lineup. They got a lot of offense. They have really struggled to hit this year, but with Simeon and Seager and Adolis Garcia and the young guys, Wyatt Langford and Carter, you think of them, you're like, man, that's a great lineup. That's a lineup I'd love to have. It just hasn't translated to results. I keep thinking there's a run in there for them. They're a little similar to Atlanta too, where every time you think the engine's about to start, they'll lose a game to the Pirates or they'll lose a bad game here or there. So I think maybe Texas has a run in them. They could be an interesting team, but this time last year, the Tigers, the Mets, the Mets were one of the worst teams in baseball until June. They were a laughing stock. Remember the guy was I can't remember the reliever's name. It'll come to me. That threw his hat, threw his glove.
That's right.
I hate playing on this team. Worst team in baseball. And then they're two wins away from the World Series. Detroit was a seller at the deadline. They give Flaherty to the Dodgers. They're a complete afterthought. They get scorching hot.
Jorge Lopez. Playoffs,
win a round, almost win another round. Jorge Lopez, that's right. So who knows? It's a long, long baseball season. Crazy things can happen.
We might get the over in the first inning in Anaheim.
Yeah.
It is 5-3. Bases are loaded for the Angels against. They have already batted around off of Walker Buehler. What a nightmare of a start for Walker Buehler. How about this little note from John Massey? He lets us know that Dylan Lee closing out the Braves' first team save since May 16th. So 5 weeks it has been since their last save. Wow, that's a stat right
and
there.
And it's not like they're not winning games. I mean, they're not playing great, but they're winning enough games where you wouldn't think they go whatever it is, 5 weeks between saves. That is a strange one. Meaning, I guess when they win, I know Sale didn't have a complete game. I guess they're just winning by margin. When they win, they're winning by margin. I know some of the run differential stuff suggests that they're, you know, in good shape to possibly get some positive regression, meaning they're losing the close games and winning the blowouts. But boy, that is quite the stat there.
So of course, last night, the NBA season wraps up game 7, Tyrese Halliburton, as reported by Shams Charania and as expected, torn Achilles tendon, will be out all of next year. Jason Tatum, as we know, dealing with the same injury, Damian Lillard dealing with the same injury. And once upon a time, a strained calf led to a torn Achilles for Kevin Durant in the 2019 NBA Finals against the Toronto Raptors. And now he's on the move. 26 points per game. He's been traded to the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets really didn't have to give up much of anything in order to get Kevin Durant. They traded Jalen Green, who just didn't seem to fit there in Houston. They gave up Dylan Brooks, a bunch of picks, you know, the first round pick this year. I believe that pick was the Suns once upon a time, and then 5 second round picks. And you get Kevin Durant. So we had talked to Mitch Lawrence about this, and I think you've alluded to it as well. Are you interested at all in the Houston Rockets, who finished second in the West just this past year, and now you get a former MVP, two-time NBA Finals MVP in Kevin Durant? Or do you think this isn't a guy that you're excited to hitch your wagon to right now to win the title? The Houston Rockets have the second shortest odds at +750.
That's not enough bang for your buck for me. That's just not enough value. Good trade. He fits a need. They need shooting. Their half-court offense was a mess. They still have young, long, athletic players with Thompson and Eason and Şengün and Jabari Smith, and they've got enough assets. They kept enough assets where they can make another move if they want. If somebody becomes available, which, look, that's half the game. That's the name of the game in the NBA, is just have stuff, have assets where the next unhappy superstar, whoever that may be, and it's not always obvious who the next one's going to be, have stuff ready in case something comes up. So they've got stuff in the chamber here to make another move. That being said, it's 7-1. I mean, look, they're going to be a good team. You could make the case if they had Durant this past postseason, they might have been in the conference final because they could have easily beaten the Warriors. They lost a home seventh game, and then Minnesota was good but was beatable. I don't know. Do you want to bet them at 7-1 here? Where even if you win your bet, it's still a year away. I just feel like, what's the hurry? You can wait till February or before the playoffs. This number is not going to move that much where you need to really rush up and hurry and bet the 7, 750, whatever it is.
No, you hit the nail on the head. Look, when I love the trade for the Houston Rockets, and I expected them to make a move. There were some thoughts. Maybe they go out and be ultra aggressive, try to pull Giannis away. Obviously, that is not going to happen. You know, it's kind of crazy when you look at it, and I don't believe it, but like the Milwaukee Bucks, they are very flawed.
I know.
They're very flawed, but they have Giannis, and everyone else is hurt right in the Eastern Conference. So it's like, could you make the case? I don't think it'll happen, but when you have the, I don't know, would you say Giannis is the second best player in the world, third best player in the world? I mean,
no worse than third, no probably worse. Second with the way Luka wasn't great as a Laker. So I think the way just coming off this season, close between 2 and 3, but I'd put him at 2.
Yeah. I mean, as no knock on SGA, I think it's Jokic, I think it's Giannis, and then SGA for me, 1, 2, 3. But yeah, I mean, it's gonna be pretty fascinating to see how it all plays out. Hey, folks, ProfitX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states. It's the first of its kind in the U.S. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today. Use the code VSIN, earn up to 200 in profit cash over your first month. Let's talk a little college football. For former Oregon Duck George Reister joins us next.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
It is VSIN Prime Time here on this Monday evening as the early baseball games are wrapping up, as we've got a bunch of finals of note. Reds get the win in our VSIN Prime Time game of the night, 6-1 over the Yankees as short home dogs. The Cardinals and Cubs have gone final. Cardinals get the win 8-2. Still curious how this one will play out in Milwaukee. 5-4 the score in Milwaukee. Pirates with that lead. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray, and we're going to catch up with George Reister, former Oregon Duck, here in just a moment. We are connecting with him courtesy of our Progressive guest line. He's with us now. And George, you know, really appreciate you jumping on. And, you know, I saw something you posted on social media today, and I want to get your thoughts on it, because I had former Ohio State linebacker Bobby Carpenter on my podcast and was curious to get his thoughts about Brian Hartline taking over for Chip Kelly as the offensive coordinator. And you've got some kind of strong opinions on this potential situation brewing there in Columbus. And it doesn't seem like you're ultra positive about the new offensive coordinator situation there for the Buckeyes.
Nah, it's not. I'm not against it. I'm just saying that they need to be very aware and very nervous, because it didn't work out last time the way that they hoped that it would, even with CJ Stroud at quarterback, with him at, because Ohio State is not a place where you get a chance to go and learn on the job. It is excellence required from the beginning. And he got demoted last time. And now, yes, he got a chance to sit a year under Chip Kelly. But if things don't work out, I mean, see, here's the thing is, every offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, head coach, good, bad, and different, they all make mistakes at some points in time. And when you are a young in terms of your offensive coordinatorship, it is going to be tough, and there's nobody to help you. You are in charge of the plays. And at that rate, that's something, especially breaking in a new young quarterback and Julian saying, that's going to make it even tougher on Brian Hartline. And Ohio State fans need to be prepared that it may not look the way that they want it to look.
George, where are you with Oregon right now? I know if we were making a short list of coaches we'd want to lead our, you know, hypothetical programs, Lanning would be near the top or at the top of everyone's list. That being said, 2 years ago, Pac-12 title game, big favorite against Washington, couldn't get it done, weren't really competitive in the game. Last year, we know what happened against Ohio State. Is there frustration or is it, hey, we got the right guy, we're on the right track, and eventually this is going to go right for us?
There is no frustration. I mean, that I think that that goes to just but I have heard people ask that question. But if you're thinking about it, right, how can you go 13-0 and have any frustration with your third year head coach? I mean, if we're really being honest, most head coaches do not win a national championship prior to 6 years at a program unless they're like Larry Coker, who inherited a gold mine and a national championship team prior to the transfer portal over there at Miami. Aside from that, it is not common. So yes, people have unrealistic expectations, but anybody with any sanity is feeling really good about Dan Lanning. No, number one, he's recruiting well. The team looks really good getting off the bus, and you don't go into the Big Ten and beat Ohio State, beat Michigan, beat Penn State all in the same year, which has never been done by anybody in history, and have some frustration. Yes, there is going to be some growing pains and all of this stuff, but at the end of the day, a national championship is coming for Oregon. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And it's going to satisfy a lot of people. But until that happens, yes, all the naysayers, all the Washington fans, the USC fans, they will continue their zero jokes.
George Reiser, former Oregon Duck and former NFL tight end, joining us here courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. If you want to hear more of George, Unafraid Show is up there on YouTube, and follow him on social media at George Reiser. All right, you recently went out to Champaign to talk to Brett Bielema, and look, Brett Bielema is a guy that he's going to tell you how he feels. He's going to be confident about his squad. We saw him at Wrigley Field, you know, talking some smack to some Wisconsin fans there. They're coming off a 10-win season. They've got a veteran quarterback in Luke Altmyer. You look at the schedule. Yes, they have to play Ohio State, but no Penn State, no Oregon on that schedule. Are you buying what Coach Bielema's selling out there in Champaign, George?
Yeah, this is an early preview. So for next week, when my college football playoff top 12 comes out, Illinois will be in there. Ooh. They are this year's Indiana, because things set up well. So you already said no Ohio State, no Oregon. So that's two tougher games. Oh no, sorry.
No Penn State. Yeah,
yes, correct. No Penn State. So that sets up nicely for them. And then you add in the fact returning quarterback, and they returned 16 starters from last year's team, 16, and 18 if you count the bowl game. So they've done a wonderful job of roster retention, and the fact that you have a veteran quarterback, a veteran team, and then you added a couple pieces in the portal too. Everything sets up for a 10 or 11 win season and a potential trip to the college football playoff. Everything sets up for that.
George, is there a team that everyone seems to be high on that you're not necessarily buying here as we're a couple months away from the season?
Penn State. Penn State. I don't believe in Drew Aller. I think he might be the most overrated quarterback in the country, and it's not even close. Like people think this kid is Josh Allen and everything else. But I'm going to give so much credit to their offensive coordinator, Colt Konecki, because he is a genius. This dude has schemed up plays. He schemed up so much that everybody thought that their tight end Tyler Warren was the best tight end in the country last year, when the best tight end was actually in Michigan with Colston Loveland, and then followed by the tight end at the University of Oregon. So like their offensive coordinator is amazing. He schemes up plays, but I want you guys to go back and watch Drew Aller play. when there is a clean pocket inaccuracy all over the film, when there is a, and a lot of times on plays, the offensive coordinator, he has drawn them up so well that if the first read is not open, he's either checking it down or he's throwing it in the trash. That's what you have on film. People have fallen in love with how he looks, but we got to watch the tape and truly evaluate. And the best quarterback in the country is wearing orange and purple over there in Clemson.
I want to get to that. George Reister joining us here. My first bet of this offseason was Clemson to win the ACC, and that's been on the move. This is a
That's
team
safe money, buddy.
Yeah, and this has been on the move to win the national title, to win the ACC. Most production returning in the country. They bring in Tom Allen as their defensive coordinator. It sounds like you're all in. I've been joking on my podcast, George, that it's been the Clemson propaganda podcast because everyone that I have on loves Clemson this year, and it feels like you're the same way.
Oh, yeah. I got a chance to go out there and talk to Dabo Swinney as well. And when you get a chance to go to Clemson, and mind you, you can't accidentally stumble upon Clemson. It's one of the only couple places that are harder to get to than Clemson are like Penn State, and it is very few.
Yeah.
And but they believe like they and Dabo has been consistent. He's been unwavering. And in a day and age where everybody's like transfer portal, buy all the recruits. What has he done? Stuck to exactly what he was doing. And his players are getting paid NIL money. He's still recruiting well, but they do something. They develop their players. Because if Kate Klubnik had been anywhere else, they would have been calling for his job. They would have been, he needs to be benched. He's not good enough. And I just saw this kid at Elite 11 do the pro day workout when the other kids were there as well. Man, the dude is unbelievable. And when you look at the fact that this is going to be his third year with the same offensive coordinator, they've upgraded it with defensive coordinator. They got the best defensive line in the country. I don't know how people are not acting like this is Ohio State from last year.
All right. George, great stuff, man. We appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Check it out on YouTube.
Thanks, George.
His program is called The Unafraid Show. I want to take some of the things that he said, and also I want to tell you what Thomas Castellanos said about their week one game at Alabama.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Keep it rolling here on this Monday evening as we've got a review, I believe, in Milwaukee. I believe he was ruled out. There was a play at second, and ultimately the Brewers do not get the benefit of the doubt. And I believe it was David Bednar was thrown out at second base there. So Brewers down to their final two outs in this one, trailing 5-4. How about the Washington Nationals coming to life here as they have scored three runs in the top of the fourth inning, and former Padres C.J. Abrams and James Wood are coming to play here tonight. James Wood, an RBI single. Nathaniel Lowe followed it up with another RBI single where James Wood scored, and now a sacrifice fly. The Nationals up 3-0 on the Padres. It was funny. You and I were talking, Will, during the break, and I was saying, if the Padres get out of this unscathed or with only one run, I might look at the Padres in game. Now, not so much. Mitchell Parker, so far, and this is a positive for you, is not really missing bats at this point.
No K's yet for Parker. That was one that I leaned first five over Angels Red Sox didn't actually play it, didn't make it like, you know, an official play, so to speak. But I did bet and did give Parker under 3.5 Ks an official play. So through three, no Ks. So hopefully, look, he's not, the pitch count's not up there. So you have to battle a couple things. You have to not only not get the strikeouts, but you want to get that pitch count up so he's up out there after, you know, 5-6 innings. So can't argue with no Ks through three. So far, so good. And you mentioned it. The guy slid past second. First off, Bowers with a man on first. Bowers for Milwaukee, man on first, down a run, bottom ninth. He hit a ball that was so close to being a walk-off two-run homer. It hooks foul, as it looks like the Nationals are going to score again.
Yep.
Hooks foul. And then the guy, I'm not sure who the runner was, second time in the last like 20 minutes, we've seen a guy overslide second base and be tagged out. I don't know if it's, they're just sliding too aggressively here, but just sloppy base running here to be safe and beat the throw, but overslide the bag and get tagged out that way.
Yeah, the Nats do get an RBI single. One of their big prospects, Brady House, comes up and singles home Nathaniel Lowe. So the Nationals now lead the San Diego Padres 4-0. Maybe the Nats just hate playing at home. I don't know, because they got swept by the Marlins, almost got swept by the Rockies. Then they go out to Chavez Ravine. Granted, they lose 2 out of 3, but they played well. They lost Friday night, 6-5, won on Saturday, lost last night. Things kind of blew up in their face, and now they're up 4-0 on the San Diego Padres. So go figure. Baseball, man, makes a lot of sense, right, Will?
They've been a feisty dog the last year plus, 2 years plus. I know, I'm trying to think, it was last year or the year before where ROI, they were one of the better teams in the league because they were getting such big prices on a day-to-day basis, and you know how it goes, you don't. You have to be a good team or even a 500 team. If you're getting these plus 220, plus 230 price tags and you're winning relatively, you know, frequently here, you can be a profitable team. And they were like that for a while. But, you know, you mentioned big picture with them. This is quietly like 2019. I don't know. In some ways, it feels like it was recent. In some ways, it doesn't. It's a long time ago. They've been in last place basically every year since. So maybe a little pressure, which ties into the draft here in a couple of weeks. Maybe a little pressure to like, all right, enough. We got to win at some point. Let's try to draft the player that can help us right away. Otherwise, we're all going to be out of here. You can only dine on 2019 for so long. It's starting to be, look, I mean, we're in 2025. It's over half a decade later now.
Yeah, it is. I gave them a 5-year grace period. I said, all right, after they win the title, I don't really care. But it's year six, and this is, if they didn't have the Soto trade, where is this team without that Juan Soto trade? That's why I did take
that
a little.
That was a great title, though, man. That was a great any title's great. That was a great baseball title to win all the games on the road, to be down 3-2, and they were some fat series prices on them. And I forget. I think I bet them small, like game to game or something. But they were a good like 4-5-1 dog heading into game six with, I think, Verlander and Scherzer.
Strasburg.
Strasburg and Scherzer going in 6-7. 6-7 because Strasburg pitched 6, won the MVP, and then Scherzer on the bad neck pitched 7, and they rallied to win. They beat Grinke. The Astros didn't use Cole out of the pen. That was a really good World Series, and man, to win one like that, that was just an awesome way to win it.
Down 2-0. I actually rewatched the highlights earlier this week. I was feeling blue, so I said, I'm going to watch the Nats highlights.
Howie Kendrick time.
I could still hear the Howie Kendrick thud off the foul pole down the right field line as the Nats won that one. That was a hell of a team. Anthony Rendon. Whatever happened to Anthony Rendon? Is he still – where is he at? Where are you at? I mean,
he's at the bank. He's holding up the line because he's cashing some big checks. He's at the bank cashing some big checks as we speak.
I didn't have to pay him. I could care less. He was great. He was great for the Nationals. So Nats lead 4-0 right now in San Diego. And as I mentioned, our good friend, director over at the Westgate Superbook, John Murray, in attendance. The Pirates have won. They have beaten the Milwaukee Brewers 5-4 tonight. So a pretty fun one there. And ultimately, the Pirates get the victory. I want to read you this quote. So Pete Nakos over at On3 had a sit down with Thomas Castellanos, the now Florida State quarterback. He once upon a time was at Boston College and has transferred, hit the transfer portal with, and it goes to Florida State. So, you know, I love, it's funny because I do love players who speak their mind, but sometimes you kind of put your foot in your own mouth. And this is what Thomas Castellanos had to say to Pete Nakos over at On3, quote, they don't have Nick Saban to save them. I just don't see them stopping me. That was his quote. I could read you the full quote. He goes, quote, I'm excited, man. People, I don't know if they know, but you go back and you watch every first game that I played in, we always start fast. I dreamed of moments like this. I dreamed of playing against Alabama. They don't have Nick Saban to save them. I just don't see them stopping me. So should you go to your account right now and go ahead and lay the 12 and a half with Alabama at on the road at Florida State?
I'm not sure yet, and I am going to, over the next week, 10 days, with the NBA, NHL, everything behind us, and that switching season, I am going to dig in, catch up. I've got some catching up to do. It feels a little narrative-y, and you and I are two guys that just don't like laying points in general, especially on the road. But, yeah, man, why would you go down this? What do you have to gain? I guess you could say, well, he's got the confidence. Ah, geez. Some things are better left unsaid. It's not like he's, Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Tom Brady. I mean, it's Castellanos. You're Castellanos. Calm down. So, I don't know. Is this something that spring to bet for you? Are you thinking of laying the points here just because of that?
I'll just say this big picture, and I'm pulling up what the point spread was last Labor Day because Florida
20 or so.
Boston College was catching 16.5 at Florida State. And Boston College beat him 28-13. And now Thomas Castellanos, whatever. He is now catching points at home. I would probably lay it before I take it. Not racing to lay it now. But sure. What I will say is Alabama to me, Will, and I know you're going to kind of do a little more of a deep dive over the next couple of weeks, as I think many people are. They are one of the teams that I think, and not that Alabama's ever going to be on sale, but at 15-16-1 to win the title, 5-1 to win the SEC.
Not bad.
One thing that people aren't talking about, we talked about the offensive coordinator situation at Ohio State, right? Brian Hartline takes over for Chip Kelly, and I think that's going to be a drop-off. I do believe that. You got to remember that Kalen DeBoer's right-hand man, everywhere he went, was Ryan Grubb. And he was not there last year. He stayed in the Pacific Northwest. He was the offensive coordinator for the Seahawks. That didn't work out. He is now reunited with Kalen DeBoer. And I know they've got questions at quarterback, as do Oregon, as do Ohio State, Notre Dame. If you want to throw Texas in there, I don't really think they fit the billing. But there's a lot of teams high up in the odds board that have questions at quarterback. But if Ty Simpson, a once upon a time five-star recruit, Will, hits, the talent that's on this Alabama roster, man, this team, I feel like people, it's so funny. Think back to 2 years ago. We were singing the praises of Kalen DeBoer. Oh, this guy's a genius. Sure. And now they go 9-4, disappointing. They lose to Michigan in their bowl game. And everyone's saying, oh, can't hack it down there. Okay, they got a ton of talent, man. A ton of talent.
Man, I was on the wrong side. I think of a Michigan team total under. It was like New Year's Eve. That was New Year's Eve Bowl. And, man, it was all turnovers. That was a tough one. Tough one for Milroe. But, yeah, and I remember it's funny you bring up the Labor Day game because that one I got like 21 and it closed almost 14. And I went back for a middle because Florida State, that was one where it was 21 on the look ahead line, but they played Georgia Tech in Ireland and the line just kept coming down, down, down. And Florida State, obviously, nightmare of a season.
Manny Machado just went yard and I should have taken the 3.5, 4-1. Nationals have a 3-run lead. Hey, folks, just a reminder, head on over to vsin.com. Check out our betting splits. You can check them out for as little as $9.99 if you become a VSIN Pro subscriber.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Wrapping things up here on VSIN Prime Time. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. Bottom of the fourth inning in San Diego. Looks like a sellout crowd. I guess makes sense, right? A bobblehead night 4-1 is the score. The Nationals have that 3-run lead over the San Diego Padres. And taking a look at where we are from a live line standpoint, it is Padres plus 244. Tell you what, with that garbage bullpen in Washington, might not be the worst thing in the world to look at the Padres to potentially come back. Manny Machado did hit a solo homer off of your boy, Mitchell Parker, who is still searching for that first strikeout of the evening. You have what, under 3.5?
Under 3.5. So I hope his search continues well into the night here as ground ball to short. Abrams just boots it. Oof. He is, I know it's a little bit of a tough hop, but he can be very shaky. You watch more Nationals than I do, but can he not be very shaky at shortstop? He's not exactly known as Ozzie Smith out there.
I would say this. He's definitely got the billing of flashy plays, but sometimes the easy ones he does not bring in, as we just saw right there. So only two games left on the board, and we are now at a push on the total, but still plenty more baseball to go. 5-4 is the score. Angels and Red Sox. Will said, you know what? Might not be the worst thing in the world to take a look at the first five over. And if you did so, that was a very easy winner. Oddly enough, we actually saw under money come in on this one, Will. And that was wrong. Not accurate money there on that one. So it is 5-4 right now out at Angel Stadium as we head to the bottom of the fourth inning. Run through the finals real quickly here for you folks. It was Atlanta over the Mets, 3-2. Atlanta went off as a minus 145 favorite. The Pittsburgh Pirates, pretty sizable dogs on the road against the Brewers. Hold on, and they win as a plus 145 dog, 5-4. It was all Cardinals as a home dog tonight against the Cubs, 8-2. Trevor Rogers was through a gem. For the Orioles, they win 6-0 as a 122 minus 122 dog. Brian Wu, strong performance for him. And Cal Raleigh goes yard again. Will Hill, his 32nd homer of the season. Mariners win easy as a minus 127 favorite, 11-2. The Reds beat the Yankees, and unfortunately for you, the under does come home. However, you did advise Yerfy, not a bad look. I played it. Aaron Judge did go yard, the only offense for the Yankees, his 28th home run of the season. And the Arizona Diamondbacks shut out the Chicago White Sox 10-0. So looking ahead to tomorrow, Will Hill, we've got another busy day of Major League Baseball. And here we go. This is going to be us for a while here. A lot of Major League Baseball. We got the draft coming up on Wednesday night. So as we pull up the board, anything initially kind of pique your fancy as we look at the board tomorrow across Major League Baseball?
It is Scooble Day, and I like to just want to make sure this line is still there. It's moved a little bit. I like to play instead of the first five under sometimes when I really like an under, first three under at 2.5 when you've got either two good pitchers or one great pitcher and one okay pitcher. You get the A's away from that bandbox of a ballpark, put them on the road in a much more pitcher-friendly environment. So under 2.5 at DraftKings, now minus 154. I know Caesars offers these lines. It was in that minus 145 range earlier when I looked. Under 2.5 for the first three, and decent chance Scooble is going to blank you. And then a team like the Tigers, maybe they get a run, maybe they get two, and it's, you know, 1-0 after three. Maybe it's 2-0 after three, but under 2.5 in the first three, these unders in the first three can be sneaky good plays, because a lot of times, and if you bet first five unders, you probably know this, you got a good bet through the first inning, the second, the third. The fourth and fifth inning sometimes is where it can unravel, because the pitcher starts to see the lineup for the second time throughout. And you know what? You get through the lineup once and maybe a couple batters with these first three. So it really limits that exposure. And, you know, sometimes the first five inning total is 3.5. I'd rather chop off two runs, just give away the run and say, you know what? I don't have to get the extra 12 outs combined. I'll live with the 2.5 in the first three, even if you got to pay a little extra juice. So Scooble, Severino, under 2.5 in the first three is a play for me.
I want to take a look real quickly. I don't know if the strikeout props are up yet. It doesn't look like they are, but Garrett Crochet will be pitching tomorrow against the Angels, Will. He has been tremendous this year since getting acquired from the White Sox. 2.20 ERA, first in Major League Baseball in strikeouts. 8, 7, 9, 12, 11. Those are his last five starts and his strikeout prop number. So, or his strikeout number, I should say. So I'm sure we'll talk about it tomorrow. That game won't get underway until 9:40 Eastern time. I'll revisit a bet that I put in. Small bet because it's not based off of information. And look, when you're betting the draft, a lot of the time as you know, I love to bet the NFL draft. I think you do as well. A lot of it's information based, right? And what you read. This is not information based, but knowing the situation in Washington and the pressure that is on team president Mike Rizzo to get it done. And a franchise that, let's be honest, since winning the World Series has not been spending money. I think Ethan Holliday, the son of Matt Holliday, the brother of Jackson Holliday, is the best player available. But with the Nationals having the first pick in the middle of July, and LSU's starting pitcher just throwing a complete game shutout in the College World Series in both of his starts in Omaha, seven innings, one run against Arkansas, complete game shutout against Coastal Carolina. I bet it at plus 230. I think plus 210. Look, little sprinkle on it. Cade Anderson to be the first overall pick. It's a two-man race, and we'll see if Nationals go with a lefty college starter that maybe could be in the rotation as early as the middle of next year, or a high school bat that you probably have to wait for a couple of years to come up. The thing is, well, I don't know if they have a couple of years, right? So are they selfish or are they doing the best thing for the organization? It's kind of an interesting question to ponder there. So I think Cade Anderson, anything north of $2 is worth a little bit of a sprinkle for the number one overall pick in the MLB draft.
Last few minutes here, I guess I can fit in a quick story. I was we went away to North Carolina a month or so ago, end of April. So, a couple months ago, sitting at the bar. A high school tournament's there. One of the coaches comes up and talks to me. We're just going back and forth, asking what I do. And he tells me he's got the number one team in the country. He's got three first round picks this spring, including the possible number one pick, Seth Hernandez. He points him out. He was, down a couple tables away. They were having something to eat. So just happened to just bump into Seth Hernandez, who I guess he's on the list. When I look at the odds, he's like in the 9-1 range, but righty, Corona High School, California, guess already throws the ball 100 miles an hour like all of these kids do. And he's got a couple other kids that are projected to go in the first round. So just interesting how life works that way.
Seth Hernandez, 10-1 to be the first overall pick. Yeah. It's wild, man.
And you know how my mind works? You know what's sick about me? I thought about approaching the kid, befriending him, getting his number so I could maybe one day get some intel. Hey, you think you're going one, buddy? You think you're going two? What do you know? I can't really – it's hard for me to bet this in Connecticut, but the wheels are always churning.
Hey, anything to get an edge, man. Anything 100%. To get an edge is the 100%. Motto when it comes to betting. Hey, folks, just a reminder, all our best bets are brought to you by GBank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and Visa. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a $200 value. So once again, the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank, VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. All right, Will, wrapping things up. Thanks to everyone who joined the program. Tomorrow, we will be joined by Jeff Sherman. It'll be good to get his insight on the Kevin Durant trade and the injuries, what the Westgate Superbook has done to alter those odds. Matt Grill will jump on the program from DraftKings Sportsbook. And we'll also hear from Luke Swain at Vegas Refund. I believe his documented bets for the NFL draft were 11-1. So we'll see if he can rekindle the magic for the NBA draft, as that is on Wednesday night, Will.
Yeah, so it feels like a slow time in the sports year, but Monday off, Tuesday off, we're already through Monday. We get one of the better nights of the year, at least in my opinion. If you love college basketball and you like the NBA, those two sort of marry here with the NBA draft. So Never a dull moment. And I'm excited for this draft.
Yeah, I am. I am too. It feels like it starts at number three. Could Philly make a move? Do they stick and pick? I do think that's kind of fascinating. Once again, Sam Presti, I know you need my advice. You kind of are not great at your job. I think you'd be aggressive. Go get one of those shooters. Get Con Knipple. Get Trey Johnson. That would be great for the OKC Thunder. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. Hoops Peterson, he's got you next with Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.